So thrilled to make the acquaintance of Michael Moore, as you heard in the introduction, president of Stamford Downtown, Stamford's Downtown Special Services District. So, Michael, great to have you on the program and great to be able to promote the thriving downtown of Stamford. I was just down there for the Joe Jackson concert at the Palace a few weeks ago, and every time I go to downtown Stamford, it's really a thrilling experience, a great, thriving metropolitan area that offers so much. And your organization plays a huge role in that. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me on the show and on the podcast. And it is great to connect with you. And I'm always excited to talk about Stamford downtown and Connecticut cities.
Yeah, well, let's let our listeners get to know you a little bit better first. We chatted for a couple moments before we hit the microphone. And this was not necessarily a career you pursued, but one that you have done really well in, and not just in Stamford, but in Bridgeport as well.
Well, I am a Connecticut native, a Danbury native, and growing up in going to college, I went to undergrad at University of Connecticut, and I got my master's in public administration there. I have a master's as well from Fairfield, and the big challenge when I was in as an undergrad and having an interest in the economy was there's a lot of folks of my generation leaving the state for opportunities elsewhere. And I was always fascinated with the challenge of how do we build the economy? How do we make Connecticut attractive to keep our talent? It was a brain drain. And that really got me interested in, again, challenges of Connecticut's economy, issues of Connecticut's economies, and it made me focus a little more on the cities. And yes, even though we have smaller cities geographically or from a population standpoint, we certainly have dynamic urban centers. We have challenges also that other bigger cities have. And I really wanted to roll up my sleeves and dive into that as a career path. And I've been very fortunate to. I started my career actually at the State Department of Economic and Community Development. And then I was worked for the Norwalk Redevelopment Agency for several years before being fortunate enough to take over the Bridgeport Downtown Special Services District and then moving on to Stamford.
Each of those roles really were a domino in and of themselves to bring you to where you are, because what a logical progression that was in terms of kind of a career arc. So what I would like to do, if you would indulge me, Michael, is
sure.
A downtown special services district is kind of a legislatively created or empowered entity, but it's not a chamber of commerce, and it's not a municipal agency. Could you explain to folks exactly how the nuts and bolts of a special services district all kind of go together and then fit as a component kind of in between the municipal and the kind of nonprofit type of chamber organization?
Sure, happy to do so. So yes, in Connecticut, my organization is a downtown special services district, and our organizations are common in urban centers and in cities throughout the country. And in other states, they're more commonly referred to as business improvement districts. And here in the state of Connecticut, enables the municipalities to create such districts. And we were created in 1992, and we are really a function of the property owners in downtown. And so in 1992, a geography and boundary were created. And within that geography, the property owners agreed to assess themselves an additional tax. And the purpose of the organization is to supplement municipal services. And our core function is really to focus on the cleanliness and the physical setting of downtown. So my organization, we focus on, we have core environmental maintenance services. So we clean curb lines, we power wash, we have ambassador services here that serve as a concierge-like service in downtown to welcome people to downtown. And our scope of services is pretty broad. We do public realm beautification. We have hanging baskets. We actually manage gardens in 6 parks in downtown. We do hanging baskets, planters. So public realm beautification is very important. It shows that we have a warm welcome downtown. We get very heavily involved with urban design. We are strong proponents of the concept of complete streets. Many of our downtowns were built around the automobile and the desire to serve automobiles and to get people to drive into downtown at the beginning of the day and leave immediately afterwards and stay inside as much as possible. Well, no, we want people to engage with the streets, engage with our parks, engage with our stores and our cultural centers, like you were talking about, the Palace Theater. So we work very closely with urban design. We work very closely on public safety. That is our primary focus, actually. So we want to make sure everyone feels very welcome. And we are a very safe downtown. And we are one of the safest, I would argue, in the country.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that people feel welcome. So we work very closely with our social service entities here. And we actually work with our police very closely. So we are not the city technically, but the city allows for the creation of the district. And so we supplement municipal services.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the street safety, the complete streets and the Safe Streets Initiative, and how you're making that work. A lot of people think by making a more user-friendly experience as a pedestrian or even a cyclist, you're actually restricting motor vehicle use and creating more gridlock. But in fact, I guess, studies bear out that it's kind of the opposite.
Absolutely. So we want, again, I want to emphasize the theme of being welcoming and open to a diverse array of folks. And in order to do that, we want to be multimodal. And we want to be able to have various modes of transportation, be able to share the road. And, by making it safer to walk, more comfortable to walk or to use a bike, maybe folks will choose not to bring their cars in downtown and maybe choose to leave their cars or take a train to come downtown. I would not say we're discouraging driving. Right. We actually have some excellent public parking structures in downtown. And we try to encourage folks to use those and leverage those assets. Yeah. But part of a growing and modern city and a mission to try to be welcoming, we want to be multimodal and want folks using various forms of transportation.
Very good. In your role of promoting placemaking while fostering personal connection to downtown Stamford, there are a number of initiatives you do. You're really sort of the gateway city for anyone who's coming north into Connecticut up Interstate 95. And you've got a number of really engaging initiatives that we want to key in on. The first is a public art installation program and investment. Talk to me about Mi Casa, Your Casa 2.0.
Sure, I'm happy to, and thank you for asking. You know, public art has been such a big part of this organization and of downtown since its inception. And we think public art, makes it an interesting walk in downtown and helps improve our public realm, but also it has served an even greater purpose since COVID, and that is to foster personal connection. And with the rise of digital devices, the rise of AI, but also the economic impacts are still felt of COVID, working from home, and people being being able to communicate without even seeing each other one-on-one and fostering that personal connection. We argue strenuously that public art helps bridge that gap and answer that challenge. So that was the purpose of our investment in Mi Casa, Your Casa 2.0. And typically what we're commonly known for is our public sculptures. And what we've tried to do now with Mi Casa, Your Casa is to invest in interactive art in which people can participate and enjoy. And what Mi Casa, Your Casa is an exhibit, an installation that was produced by a Montreal-based firm called Creos. And they work with internationally renowned Mexican designers named Israel and Cadena. And they were designed to have, it's essentially eight installations, each shaped like a home, It's like a frame of a home. Mm-hmm. And embedded in them are swings, And what they're encouraged to do is encourage connection, encourage physical contact with the actual exhibit, and as a way for people to get outside and engage with our public realm and engage with other folks that live in downtown or visitors to downtown. And that is the purpose. We find that this is a catalyst for connection, and it is so important. And that's the role of our organization and of the role of our urban centers, is to foster that connection and experience, get out and experience the physical setting in the public realm.
Now, can people go to your website to learn where these installations are so that they can maybe start their exploration of downtown Stamford by running the map of these installations?
Sure. So the answer is yes. You can certainly go to our website, which is stamford-downtown.com. And the installations are focused at Columbus Park, which is in our Main Street corridor here in downtown. It is one of our iconic restaurant destinations, the Main Street Columbus Park area. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly go to our website, but also our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we talk about it quite a bit. And what we want to make sure that a diverse range of folks, the range of folks that come to our city center, engage with this exhibit and enjoy it. So we have actually invested in building connections with our social media content creators, mm-hmm. and to help us tell the story. And these are multilingual content creators as well, because we argue that we are a center for a diverse array of cultures, multilingual speakers, multi-generational visitors as well,
sure.
Families, folks who are single and moving to the city for the first time. So yes, certainly our website, but we've made a concerted effort to pursue different avenues for communicating and advertising and marketing the installation.
Great. You mentioned the restaurants. You've got a thriving restaurant scene there in Stamford, yeah. From downtown all the way to the furthest flung neighborhoods in your border areas. And certainly, people come to Stamford to work and they got to eat. People come for things like your public art installations and they've yep. got to eat, or they come to eat and then they go do something else. The pivot point is your restaurants, and you've taken a unique kind of run at the restaurant week concept. Tell us how you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to start with your first point, we have over 100 bars and restaurants in downtown, and we're a fairly geographically compact area. Mm-hmm. And we benefit from the culinary offerings, the diverse culinary offerings here. Just around Columbus Park itself, you can go and have traditional Albanian fare, or less than a block away, you can go to Tef, which is a Ethiopian restaurant here, and it is such an attraction. Or you can go to Columbus Park Trattoria, which is an iconic Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. but also Central American and South American fairy. In fact, we just had a cocktail party to celebrate the Mikasa Yurkasa 2.0 exhibition at Manzo, which is an incredible South American restaurant. And so, you know, and just a block away along Summer Street, we have Flinders Lane, which is an Australian fair. So it is really, food serves to help establish culture, and it serves as an attraction to downtown, and to help foster experience. You know, you were talking about the Joe Jackson show at the Palace Theater. What we're trying to encourage folks to do is, yeah, you know, don't just come down for the Joe Jackson show, which was incredible and was a great draw, but go out to dinner before, or go out to dinner afterwards and have drinks at one of our many eateries. And so, you know, it is a great way to food, and our culinary options act as a great magnet and a catalyst for activity in downtown.
Mm. You mentioned Summer Street, and you know, I guess folks can go to the Aussie restaurant and Papa Foster's Lager and take in the tunes and energy of the block parties that you're hosting down there. That's another great way of creating an atmosphere where both newcomers, longtime residents, and visitors can all mix and mingle in a really, really upbeat kind of way.
Yeah, and Summer, so that is tonight. We actually have a block party from 5 to 9 on Summer Street. Uh-huh. And Summer Street is our leading example of our Complete Streets philosophy. So the project, there was a significant investment made by the city of Stamford that we supported to convert Lower Summer into our iconic Complete Streets model. So what does that mean? It means we widened sidewalks, that we reduced on-street parking, so that with wider sidewalks, it's safer to walk and also to stage dining. We are a huge proponent of outdoor dining. And then we actually we changed the design. The city has to take credit for it. Raised the actual road bed so that it was flush with the curb line, and in doing so, that slows down traffic as well. Mm-hmm. And so people are not racing down the street, and it makes for a much more comfortable environment in which people to engage outside. We actually, our organization invests in lighting and banners and hanging baskets, and also partitions, which double as planters to make it a much more inviting setting as well. And the block party is designed to encourage folks to enjoy the street, come out and enjoy the open air setting, and really show off and understand this concept. And we are working very closely with the city and the state to really redesign all our interior streets that reflect this Complete Streets concept. And tonight, we will have music, we will have vendors, we'll have entertainers here, we'll have a local psychic. And so we'll have outdoor games like cornhole to play. So the block party is, we've started, this is our third year of doing block parties, and we think we will be expanding them, having them more frequently and in more streets in years to come.
Good. Just for the benefit of our listeners who are getting this program for the first time on Sunday morning, Michael's talking about the evening of Thursday beforehand when we tape program. So there are more block parties to be had, though, and folks, once again, can consult your social media or your website for that information.
Yes.
Great. So,
John, one other thing I wanted to tell you about, if you don't mind, I apologize. I love talking about this.
2 minutes.
Yeah. Sure. Well, one thing that we've invested in is a QR code based technology called Hello Lamppost. that we have placed throughout the public realm in downtown, which people can take out their phone and scan the QR code and ask any question. It's very interactive. Ask any question of downtown. You know, when is the next event? When is the next concert at the Palace? Where can I go get pizza in downtown? And it's a great way to ask questions, and we can evaluate that and see what the needs are of our visitors to downtown, our residents. And so I encourage folks to be able to do that. And we're investing in different ways to communicate with stakeholders.
Great. Michael Moore, president of Stamford Downtown, Stamford's Downtown Special Services District, innovating and bringing more folks into the downtown with great ideas like we talked about on the program today. We hope you'll visit their website, stamford-downtown.com. Scroll up right up there at the top and subscribe to their social network platforms, and you'll be in the know about everything going on in Stamford Downtown. Michael, thank you so much for your time this morning.